What up, friends, and welcome back to the Ricardo Report, high school sports and hip-hop at Fox Sports 1340 AM. I'm your host, Chad Ricardo. Joining me, I got my main man, 50 Grand riding shotgun, Mr. Rodney Jiggs Johnson. Jiggs, how you feeling, bro?
Man, I'm chilling, man. I'm good. I'm thinking about this turf.
We are right about there, man. But we got our college. You're not a graduate yet. What are you? You're a college student, Darrell? Is that what we call you right now?
Yeah. If you haven't graduated, you're still a student.
Okay.
Hey, Darrell, that's what I was thinking, too, when he put the question out there.
Look, I mean, listen, guys, I went to JMU, man. It was far more about the parties than it was the education, if you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. But listen, man, we got a tremendous show for you. Got a couple of serious things that we want to talk about in just a second. But first, Darrell and I, we're going to sit on one side of the table because our teams just keep winning and winning in the NFC East. And then, Jiggs, you kind of got to sit on the other side of the table.
I got to sit on the other side of the table.
It's kind of like as we talk about Thanksgiving, you know, you got the adult table, then you got the kid table. Like the NFC East is full of big boys. And then there's your Eagles.
Listen, man, I can't even really look. I had family things going on this weekend.
Well, let me tell you about it. Like, you know, a few weeks ago, I think that you told me that, you know, Carson Wentz was the next Andrew Luck. Man. Carson Wentz is coming back down to earth.
I don't know what. Listen, I haven't even previews. I had not the previews, but the reviews.
Right.
I haven't seen the clips of the game, so please fill me in.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you, he your boy Carson Wentz is who was. At first, he was kind of being a game manager, and it was working out really well. Well, now you guys are putting the ball up more, and Wentz likes to throw the ball to the other team. Really likes to throw the ball to the other team. Had two more interceptions this past week, man. Really hurt the ball club. And you guys are basically, like, D, you tell me if you think I'm wrong, but you guys might as well really kind of like pack it up right now.
They're 5-5 still.
Correct.
But I mean, at least they're not 3-7. I mean, I'm not going to say they're not competitive, but mistakes have killed them. I mean, but it's the NFC East. I'm not counting them out quite yet, but yesterday kind of hurt.
Well, unfortunately, I am going to count them out, and I would much rather be counting out. You know what? I mean this. I would much rather be counting out the Redskins because I despise them. There are not many things that I despise less in life than I despise the Redskins. Like, I like going to the doctor to get a shot more than I like seeing the Washington Redskins win. But you guys, you bums, keep winning, D. You knocked off Green Bay again. Your offense looks potent. Your defense looks serviceable. I despise it. Tell me about it.
Well, first of all, I was listening to last week's show, and you said you have to get some sort of negative comment about the Redskins in every show.
Every damn week, D. Every week.
But we look really good, you know, on both sides of the ball. I was impressed with our offense, not because of the numbers we put up, but given the conditions last night,
yeah,
I thought we would be really run-heavy. But Cousins threw 40 passes, completed 31 of them for 375, 3 touchdowns, no picks. And, I mean, our running game looked really good. Robert Kelly stepping in for Matt Jones. Robert Kelly looks really good. He's a better runner, in my opinion, than Jones. Even though I did, you know, like Jones here and there, he was too inconsistent. But, I mean, it's starting to kind of piece itself together. We were in that 0-2 hole to begin the season, and now we're 6-3-1. So I'm still not over that tie. I hate ties.
Right.
But, you know, we're rolling right now, and then we just have to keep it up against Dallas on Thursday.
So that's a proper segue. That's a proper segue. Now, we're going to have to bring Jaron Glover back onto the show, into the opening set at some point, so that we can talk about the game. There's really not much to talk about the Cowboys. Unfortunately, they keep winning as well. 9 in a row. Dak Prescott, MVP candidate. Ezekiel Elliott is a Rookie of the Year candidate. The thing I despise second to the Redskins are, of course, Cowboy fans. And them boys are just, they're all over the place, man. So, who's going to defeat these guys?
Listen, let me jump in here real quick. I will say, look, I as an Eagles fan, you know,
that's hard to say, isn't it?
Right. It's coming out. It's a little tough steak right now. But anyway, as an Eagles fan, I will say right now, though, I am proud of the NFC East. I'm proud of I'm proud of what the Redskins are doing. I'm proud of what the Cowboys are doing. Never thought that I would ever say anything like that. But listen, both of those teams are playing at a caliber, such a high level right now.
Wait a minute.
Listen, let me finish.
I didn't hear Giants. Okay.
No, I'm not, because you're not going to hear the Giants. Because one, you guys got Eli Manning. I mean, whenever.
Two Super Bowl championships. I'm just saying.
So.
Rings, bro.
Look, if you watched the game last night, I mean, Kirk Cousins, man, he was so on point with those throws,
man. Oh, my gosh.
The downhill threats are
you
real.
You are making me sick to my stomach right now.
Listen, man, I'm sick to my own stuff. You don't know what I did before I got on this. Anyway, downhill threats.
Man.
Downhill threats are looking real, man. Dak and for the Cowboys, man, Dak and Ezekiel, the line, offensive line, it's you know, both of those teams are balling out of control right now. And like I said, go NFC East.
You do know that we won 5 in a row, too, right?
Hey, listen, man.
You do know that we're actually in second place right now.
I mean, you know.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Right. You know what? We don't even got to talk about my Giants. We're 7-3. We're just cruising along. We're just cruising along, bro. A lot of people talk about our turnover ratio. You know what? A lot of those turnovers came in the first four games. Not so many recently. A lot of people talk about our lack of a running game. You know what? The last 2 weeks, we've kind of found a little bit of a rushing game as well. A lot of people talk about the struggles of the offense. Well, you know what? We've got a defense that will probably finish the season in the top 10. So I'm just saying. I'm just saying, watch out for us, bruh. Watch out. D, who wins the game on Thanksgiving? Your lowly Redskins or the even lowlier Cowboys?
I'm going to have to take the Redskins.
Okay.
Not to be biased or anything, even though I guess I am in some sort of way. But,
right.
I mean, we are riding a bit of momentum. Both teams are coming off a short week. You know, Dallas played yesterday. Redskins played Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no practice on Monday. They have to grind all day Tuesday, a little bit Wednesday, then fly to Dallas. But I think Cousins is on a roll. I think our running game is on a roll. Our defense is finding its way a little bit. I hopefully will be eating turkey. Mm. And then as the clock hits zero in the fourth quarter, I will throw my turkey in the air and celebrate.
Speaking of which, I that's another perfect segue. D, you consider yourself a progressive, don't you?
In what way?
I mean, speaking in politics, you consider yourself a progressive?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so how as a progressive does a man call himself a fan of such a disrespectful name as the Redskins? I mean, on Thanksgiving Day, they're playing Cowboys versus Indians. Like, you are, this is, yeah, I'm not even going to get into that, right? Something else that happened yesterday, 12 extra points were missed. Of course, right before the season, they moved the extra point back, so it's a further distance. It's close to it is essentially a short field goal now. 12 extra points were missed. A lot of people love this because it's not a giveaway point anymore. You actually got to work for it. Real quick here, because I want to move on. How do you all feel about the extra point as it is right now?
Hey, personally, first of all, I'm going to say that, Chad, thank you for asking me. I do think the Cowboys are going to win on Thursday. But as far as the extra point goes, man, I like the that it's not a given point, man. I like that everybody has to go in there and everybody has to put in work to you know, to contribute to their team to help their team win. I mean, you can't, like you said, you can't just line up and say, hey, this ball is going to go in.
No. I agree with that. I mean, my kicker missed two extra points yesterday. Had he come down to the clutch, bruh, like if it was like a tie game or you know, it was in the clutch and we needed the points, I think that I might have advised Coach to go for two in that situation because of the way that things were going for us. What about you, D?
You know, when they first made the rule change, I wasn't the biggest fan of it, but I think to Jiggs' point, it's not a given anymore. You actually have to go out and earn the extra point. So I think it just adds to the competitiveness a bit. And I mean, the difference between a made extra point for a 7-0 game and a missed extra point for a 6-0 game is huge.
Huge.
So and it can factor into the game later on. But I like it. I like the rule. There were, what, an NFL record 12 missed on
12.
Sunday, but,
right.
Some of that was weather. Some kickers just can't kick extra points, so they kind of look like Chad kicking extra points.
Yeah, that's about right. That's about right.
But you know, I like the rule change. I like the new addition.
I like that as well, man. I'm going to tell you something else that I like. Now, of course, D, you are a WCAC insider, and we're going to talk about the WCAC championship game in just a second. But before that, I want to speak about something that's right in the world, because a lot of times when we start off the show, we go off top and we talk about some things, some injustices that are wrong in the world, some things that need change. A couple of things that are right in the world are student athletes such as Kasim Hill and Bo English. Quarterbacks, of course, of St. John's College High School and DeMatha out here. These are young men. Again, a lot of times when you think of, or when the media likes to portray African-American males, it's in a certain light, it's in a certain negative disregard. But these are a couple of young men that we had an opportunity to watch not only this year, but over the span of their entire career. They are respectable, respectful, well-spoken. They're leaders. Kind of what I want to know, beyond giving them credit here, is do you guys do you feel as though this is a flash in the pan? Maybe it's because they just go to these private schools and they have good families, or are we coming somewhere? Are we taking steps in the right direction?
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot that goes into it, and I'm just going to use the brief example of Robert Griffin III.
Right.
Robert Griffin III was a standout, I think, three-sport athlete in high school, football, basketball, and track. He was smart. He graduated from Baylor early, very well-spoken. And I don't know if you remember the whole fallout on ESPN with Rob Parker portraying him as, you know, a guy who wasn't African-American because of how smart he was and the way he spoke and the type of demeanor he had. Now, the media does try to portray African Americans in certain ways, you know, with the stereotypes. But in terms of Kasim Hill and Bo English, I compare them to Robert Griffin III because they are standout athletes. They are smart. You know, when we went to Bo English's commitment on the 4th of July, his teammates said that he's the smartest guy they know.
Right.
And that speaks volumes to not only who he is in the locker room and on the field, but outside of the field and in the classroom.
Because let's keep it real for a second, because honestly, a lot of times within the black community, being smart is not cool at all.
Right. You know, if you go to a private institution or a really prominent institution, the first question amongst a lot of people is, what sport are you here to play?
Right.
You know, instead of, you know, what's your major or something like that. So for both Hill and English, I think it speaks volume to their families, their upbringing, the schools they go to, and their performances both on and off the field, because that translates into private life and how they carry themselves.
You know, I don't want to get too far off. I don't want to get too far off topic, but there's one thing that I would say to that. Now, I do some charity work with the Washington Redskins around Christmas time, just about every year. So I'm not gonna claim Robert Griffin is not my boy. Not, I don't know him. He wouldn't know me from Adam. But the one thing, I'm not justifying Parker's remarks, but the one thing about RG3 is that not so much was it that he was educated, is that he was a cornball. Okay, now I want for people to understand me here because I think it makes a difference. It wasn't that he was educated, it's that he was a cornball. Now, does that give anybody a right to question anyone's quote-unquote blackness? No, it does not. But I don't think that RG3's societal issue or sociological issue was his intelligence. I think it was his way of being.
Right, but still, to that point, even though Rob Parker did call him a cornball brother, he asked if he was a cornball. You can't just extract everything away from that. You
right.
can't take away from RG3's personality.
I feel you.
And who he was as a student in the classroom and as an athlete on the field or on the court.
So I respect that.
I see what you're saying, but at the same time, we can't really take away the credit that he deserves for the person he is.
I respect that. Sure. Jigs, what do you think?
So here's my thing about this, man. I think one thing that we have to do, us as the media, excuse me, us as parents, us as the older generation, we do have to stop saying, even though we're just talking about it, we do have to stop saying that it's not cool in the black community to be smart.
Right.
We just have to stop putting that stereotype out there letting people say, hey, look, they're saying it. So obviously that was a stereotype or that might have been based off of something in the past, because that's not always the case. That's just how it's been portrayed. When the media goes into a lot of these communities or when people go into these communities, they don't necessarily look
right.
for
right.
the representation that we as a people want us to
correct.
Have out there.
Correct.
You see what I'm saying?
Correct.
They want to look for something that's a little more controversial. They want to look for the star athlete, but is not necessarily the smartest athlete, because that makes for more entertaining television or more entertaining interview or whatever you have it. But often than not, the majority of these guys that are out there on these fields that are playing these sports, especially these multi-sport guys, these are highly intelligent individuals, and you guys shouldn't put anything past these young men, because not only are they out there doing it on the field, they're doing it in the classroom.
Yes, they are.
And this is what we need to start to focus on, so that these kids out here who have gotten the wrong perception, who have gotten the minority perception, and when I say minority, I'm not talking about a people, I'm talking about a type of person, meaning that the quote-unquote dumb jock, they got this perception in the media and they think that this is how they want to go. No, we need to start showing these kids, these educated young brothers, Bo English, Kasim Hill, these kids like that. And that's what I have to say about that. And us at the Ricardo Report, man, we're always happy when we run across these kids that can speak to us and tell us exactly
Correct.
How they feel, tell us, what's going on in the field, what's going on in the classroom, what's going on in the world. And these are the leaders of tomorrow.
Correct.
You understand?
Correct.
So, we have to put out the stereotype. We have to kill that stereotype of saying, oftentimes we're not, it's not cool to be smart. We got to just take that whole thought process out and let's not start a conversation with that. Let's start a conversation with this young brother performing on the field, and he's performing in the classroom, and he's showing these other guys how it's supposed to be done.
And you know what? I definitely, in addition to Bo and in addition to Kasim, I mean, there are a ton of other student athletes that we could include in this conversation as well. For the purposes of this show as well, I want to include DJ Gallant and their quarterback of Riverdale Baptist, Isaiah Robinson, my dude, quarterback out there of St. Francis Academy as well, because all of these young men personify those same types of qualities that are exactly what it is that you speak to, Jigs. I mean, we are three. I never want for this show to be a black show, but I do want to acknowledge where it is that we come from as individuals. Jigs, you and I, we've been friends for 20 some odd years. Darrell Balknight, a young brother who is likely going to be the top journalist of his day, who's in school right now as well. So we do want to be sure that we that we represent not only who we are, but also the values in which that we want to put forth. I know the same goes for the two of you, but even more important to me than sport, even more important to me than my career, is the growth and development of our young men and helping them all get on that next page. So definitely want to give shout outs, give credit to the young men that are doing that. Big time, Bo English, Kasim Hill, all of these young men, absolutely.
Sure, definitely.
I agree.
Boys and girls, listen up. You can be anything in the world, and God we trust. An architect, doctor, maybe an actress, but nothing comes easy. It takes much practice. Like, I met a woman who's becoming a star. She was very beautiful, leaving people in awe. Singing songs, Lena Horne, but the younger version. Hung with the wrong person, got a strong one at her. When cocaine, sniffing up drugs, all in her nose. Could have died so young, now looks ugly and old. No fun, cause now when she reaches for hugs, people hold their breath, cause she smells of corrosion and death. Watch the company you keep and the crowd you bring, cause they came to do drugs and you came to sing. So if you're gonna be the best, I'ma tell you how. Put your hand in the air and take the vow. I know I can
be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it,
I'll
be where I wanna be.
It's time to talk the WCAC. Now, myself, Chad Ricardo, WCAC insider Darrell Bunk, and I, we already had the opportunity to speak about the quality young men, the quality quarterbacks that play in the WCAC as well as other conferences in the DMV area. But I want to focus in right now on what turned out to be arguably the best championship game that I personally have ever seen. That was last Saturday when DeMatha and St. John's met. Joining myself and Darrell Balknight, Mr. Josh JVE Laurie, who is there in the building with me as well. Josh, we'll come to you first on this. What were your thoughts on that game on Saturday?
Ooh, I mean, if we had any question about Bo English's legacy, not just at the Massa, not
now,
just at the WCAC,
now,
but the
here
entire
you go.
DMV.
Now here you go.
On Saturday.
Now you want to give Bo English credit, huh? Now you want to give Bo English credit.
I've never taken Darryl, anything away from Bo.
You hear this? Hey, D.
Yeah.
Answer me this. 4th of July, 2016, where were you?
I was, besides listening to Kevin Durant and him going to Golden State, I was at Bo English's commitment.
Right. AD, on 4th of July, 2016, guess where I was?
I'm guessing you were at the same place.
I was at Bo English's commitment. You know what Josh was on 4th of July, 2016?
Dad, if you were paying me a living wage, this wouldn't be a discussion.
Josh was somewhere, putting little stars.
Making money so I can pay these bills. That's what I was doing.
Josh was somewhere putting little stars on St. John's roster. All of the new players that St. John's is bringing in.
Let's be accurate.
Hey, wait.
I was at work.
Wait, Josh.
I got bills.
It was at that point that you were getting that license to drive the SJC bandwagon, wasn't it?
I was paying my student loans. Okay, that's what was happening.
All right. So at least you got it right there though. But you do. You want to give credit to Bo English? Why is that again?
Because I mean, I don't know if I've seen a more impressive quarterbacking performance except for maybe Vince Young in the 2004 Fiesta Bowl.
Wow.
Granted, I was like 12, so I don't really have an accurate memory of that. I think of him being pretty much Superman, but Bo English might have had that that red S under his jersey, okay? What he did was phenomenal. I mean, we talked about how good these two teams were. The first time they played, it came down to the decision to go for two. This one, special teams had a huge impact on swinging the game. But really, it comes down to Bo English's 17-yard run midway through the fourth quarter. If he doesn't score there, the game is over. And we're talking about St. John's and Kasim Hill winning that WCAC title.
Yeah, and you know what I mean? Very frequently, quarterbacks, whether you're winning or you're losing, quarterbacks have a tendency to get too much credit in a victory and too much blame in a loss. So I do want to piggyback off of what you're saying about Bo English, because he deserves it. It was like midway through the fourth quarter, he kind of took over there. The first drive in which he finished it with his legs, he had about three runs. It was like he made every right decision as to whether to look for Helms, to look for his receivers, or to take off with his legs. And he kind of carried him down and he got him into the end zone. And at that point, like the feeling in the stadium was kind of like, yo, they might actually do this. But I also want to give credit to that DeMatha defense, because they were lights out. As you said, Josh, the special teams, they were lights out as well. But D, I know you didn't have an opportunity to watch it live, but how about that turn? That turn in the fourth quarter, man. What does it take from a team to be able to come back the way that they did, down 15, 6 minutes left?
Well, I think the best answer would be resiliency, but I think in this situation, it speaks more to leadership.
Yeah.
Leadership from Bo English on offense, from Grant Donaldson on defense, and most of all, from Elijah Brooks on the sideline. I think he trusts his players more than anybody in these situations. And look, DeMatha was down 15 with what, 7-8 minutes left?
Right.
And they climbed all the way back, and they won by 5 in the end.
Yeah.
So this speaks to, obviously, the team as a whole, but it speaks to their demeanor. They didn't get down on themselves being down by 2-plus scores. They didn't get rattled. They weren't upset. English stood in there. He hung in there, rattled his rallied his teammates. And Elijah Brooks did a great job of you know, keeping the cool, keeping the calmness there on the sidelines and leading his team to victory in the end.
I think that...
And you know what? I'll admit, I was one of the ones who had midway through the fourth the game locked up. I remember Kyle McFadden and I actually went up to you, Chad.
Yeah.
And said it's over.
Absolutely you did. Thanks for being a man and stepping up and telling the truth. Yourself and Mr. Kyle McFadden of Maryland Sports Access, who is a big-time company that does a ton of great things for the youth in the state of Maryland. But right now, Kyle, I got to throw you under the bus because I'm throwing Josh under the bus as well. D, you should have been there. You should have been there. 7 minutes left, because, you know, we picked DeMatha. 7 minutes left. These two guys, they're up. I'm going to say that they were giddy as two schoolgirls, okay, D? They're in my face. They're like,
giddy. I was stating a fact. And also, you've got to realize, this is just after we saw the Stags go 3-and-out, punt the ball down on a drive where Bo English had no time in the pocket. Then a fumble happens, DeMatha gets the ball back, and the momentum just swings entirely behind the Stags.
You're daggone right it did, man. But you, again, Maryland Sports Access, tremendous company. They're doing great things for our youth. This is not about that, but this is just about you and Kyle personally and the way that you two assaulted me on the sidelines when you thought that the game was over.
Okay.
When you thought that the game was over.
Don't even say that there was assault, okay? If anything, you were mildly accosted, and it wasn't by us. It was by those cheerleaders you were running
from. Oh, my gosh. Well, now to switch the topic before police end up at my front door. Here's what I want to talk about, because I don't want to be guilty of the same thing that yourself and Kyle were. As much credit as DeMatha has to be given, I have to give credit to St. John's here as well. St. John's, for 3.5 quarters, played a magnificent game. You spoke about Bo English wearing that S on his chest. Kasim Hill looked phenomenal out there. He looked phenomenal. I mean, Kasim was running the ball. He was running the ball. He was passing the ball, man. I mean, they for 3.5 quarters, they were pounding the vaunted DeMatha defense 5 and 6 yards at a time, just marching the ball down the field and down their throats, bro. Like, it was big boy ball, and St. John's was getting it done. Also, Joshim Bangda getting it done out there as well. For a while, it was tough, man, and before those turnovers came about, another big-time thing happened. Kasim Hill came up lame. He came up limp after right before St. John's got into the end zone to make it a 15-point game.
In fact, he was in and out on various series going down the stretch of the game. And that's something you have to... There are two things you got to say. One, as a guy who's grown up watching Ben Roethlisberger, and that's helped inform my knowledge of football, I've got to give it up to Mr. Hill for playing through the pain. Yeah, he's done with He's done with high school now, okay? He is Mr. Hill from here on out because he's been playing like a grown man all season. But also, you can't underestimate how much that affected, because he really wasn't airing it out as much as he probably would have in that scenario.
Right. No, I agree with you. But, you know, when they were rolling, man, I definitely want to give a shout out to Ed Lee, who also had a really big game out there. Shane Lee had a big game on defense. But as we alluded to, those two turnovers, man, they had the fumble or the lateral, not positive which one it was. And then an amazing kickoff by the Damatha kicker. That ball, D, you should have been there, bro. Like, it was right by us on the sideline. The ball, it was beautiful. It was angled to the corner.
I look up and I see Chad almost jumping out of his dress shoes, okay?
Right.
And I would have thought that he was going up for a board to tip in to win the national championship.
And I'm 35 now. I'm 35 now, so my legs don't stretch the way that they used to, D, but it was remarkable out there.
You know what? I heard about it, and I saw the kick, and it was all on Twitter, and I saw replays of it. It was terrific, and that just set it all up from there.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
It happened so quick that I actually missed it. I was trying to tweet out the video of Bo's touchdown run, and next thing I know, Damascus got the ball back. Chad's like 5 yards onto the field, jumping up and down. It's pandemonium.
It was a crazy turn of events. It was an amazing and outstanding game. I definitely want to give credit to both teams. But again, that Damatha team, they've been special all year. I told you all, I had spoken to a Damatha insider weeks ago who said that he felt as though this was the best Damatha team out of the last 4 years, man. And it's in situations like this. When you've got a team, there's also been the expression built versus bought that's been thrown out there.
You know what? Let's give it up to both fan student sections who were live during the game. I mean, St. John's, they always bring the noise. They actually pushed their student leaders, got forced into the stands going down the stretch of that game for being too rowdy. And Damascus, I mean, they brought the noise all game. And of course, the chance you can't buy this and Kevin can't buy this were phenomenal going down the stretch.
Well, I mean, look, that's what they say, bro. You know, I mean, this St. John's team, they were an amazing collection of talent, but they came together this year. And Darrell, for you, somebody who played big time high school athletics, you know that when you've got guys, and this is no disrespect to SJC, but when you've got guys, savages albeit, who come together for 1 year, it's really difficult when you're in the clutch, when it's time, when somebody's got to make a play, when somebody's got to come up big. When you got guys that have been playing together for 4 years, 5 years, sometimes 6 years, and they're going against guys that have been playing together for one, you got to favor that team that's been built together, bro. Got to favor them.
And I completely agree with that, Chad. And I mean, this is the Damatha team. Like I said, they're resilient. They're persistent. They make you believe that even though they're down, they're not out of it at all. And speaking to that, one more point about Bo English. I received a text message from a guy, a former WCAC coach. He's been involved in WCAC for about 25, 30 years or so. He said, Bo English had the greatest performance at quarterback that I've ever seen in a Catholic League title game.
That's amazing.
So I mean, Bo English, credit to St. John's, credit to Damatha, and obviously our guy, the logo, Bo English. I still think he's a little underrated. I still think people don't give him the credit he truly deserves.
You're damn right.
Yeah, but credit to Bo for a heck of a season, heck of a game, and a heck of a career at Damatha.
Also, real quick, we got to shout out Ed McFarland. He missed the season due to an injury, but he was there suited up. He knew he wasn't going to play, but he was still the livest person on that Stag sideline.
Yeah, that was very good to see. It was a class move done by a class organization. Speaking of which, just want to shout out, of course, head coach Elijah Brooks, athletic director Ed King, some of our favorite coaches, Coach L, Lawrence Waters, Coach Will Weathers out there, Josh's favorite coach, Coach E, out there as well, man. Chase Young played a big-time game. Anthony Toro, 2 touchdowns. He played a huge game. Miles Canton, how ironic. Miles Canton had the game still an interception again. Damatha the Stags, man. What more can you say about them?
great game, guys.
Great game. Last thing, way too early for this, but in 2 seconds, if you were to make a prediction right now as to who wins the WCAC next year, not even going to let DeMatha hold the proverbial crown for 3 days. If you had a prediction, who would it be? Darrell.
St. John's.
Oh, shucks. Josh, you say SJC again?
Yes.
All right. Darrell, who you got?
Man, we're not even at Thanksgiving and give me St. John's. Give me St. John's.
And you know what? I'm going DeMatha. Because to be the man, you got to beat the man. And nobody has beat the man. Yeah. Congratulations, Stags.
Metro Boomin wants some more. Cause I got a really big team, and they need some really big rings. They need some really nice things. Better be coming with no strings. Better be coming with no strings. We need some really nice things. We need some really big rings. I got a really big team. I got a really big team. They need some really big rings. They need some really nice things. Better be coming with no strings. Better be coming with no strings. We need some really nice things. We need some really big rings. Rings. I got a really big team, man. What a time to be alive. You and yours versus me and mine. Are we talking teams? Are we talking teams? Are you switching sides? Wanna come with me? Look at the smile on me. Look at the aisle on me. I do not chase girls, but they run a mile for me. Say she gon' ride for me. I buy the tires for you. This game is different. You only get one shot when go foul on you. Man, f*** them all. Man, we want it all. Don't get too involved. We gon' knock it off. And to top it off, I'm with all the dogs. It's a new season. And we still breathing.
And we're moving on from the WCAC. Coming back down to some public schools. Because they play big time football in the public schools as well. Myself, Chad Ricardo, Josh, JV Eloy, producer Jaron Glover joining the show. JG, how you feeling, bro?
I'm good. How are you guys today?
We already talked about the Cowboys and, you know, so no one really wants to talk to you about it anymore.
You don't want me talking about the NFC East anymore, huh?
No, I don't. When you guys lose, we'll bring you back for that.
That's what I figured. It's okay though. Guess I won't be coming back then.
Oh geez. Okay.
Please let them have a Tony Romo meltdown in the playoffs.
Right. All we got to do is get him back in there, and the Cowboys will start losing instantly because they're an accident waiting to happen. But we'll talk about that later on. Let's talk to this high school sport thing that we got going here. We'll talk about SoCo in just a minute, JG. But first, I got to give, you know, I don't even know that I do. I don't have to give you any credit, really. Josh and I went out there to Quince Orchard. First and foremost, it is a tremendous atmosphere. The Cougar Dome is absolutely lit. So huge shout out going to all of the fans, all of the student athletes, the student body that makes the Cougar Dome special as what it is. But Josh, Quince Orchard knocked off Richard Montgomery. Go ahead. Have your cake. Have your cake, bro.
You know what? I would enjoy it more if it had been a battle, but I mean, we knew by the end of the first quarter that...
Don't be disrespectful. Don't be disrespectful.
The Cougars had command of the game. All the momentum was in their direction. It was a two-score game, but at that point, it became clear who the team with superior talent on the field was.
Man, yeah, see, you could have just you didn't have to go that hard about it. Look, I want to give huge credit out there to Quince Orchard. It's not as though honestly, yes, I knew the Quince Orchard would win this game. They've got okay.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Great. Doc Bonner, though. Doc Bonner was special all night long. Doc Bonner put on a show.
That was Doc.
Okay. All right. Hey, Doc, next time we see you, let us know why you wear 10 sometimes and 8 other times. I'm sure there's a story behind that. But outside of putting on a show on the field, he's also a tremendous young man. Obviously had an opportunity to interview him afterwards. He kind of lit Richard Montgomery up. Main man Fofi Bazzi had a big time game out there as well. He got into the end zone. University of Maryland commit. Good to see him talking big, making big plays out there on the field as well. But before we move on, because Quince Orchard, they're going to play again next week. We'll have more time to talk about them. Want to give a huge shout out to Richard Montgomery. This is a team that in the last two seasons has been able to rebuild their program. They've really been able to get on the right track. Not only my nephew, Spencer Silverstein, who is an up-and-coming quarterback in the land, they've got an offensive line that's going to return five starters. And my guy, Tylan Hebron, is one of the most underrated running backs in the entire state of Maryland. And Josh, you had an opportunity to see that firsthand on Friday night.
Absolutely. It was something special.
It was. So, Richard Montgomery, you guys have fallen down, but you will be back next year. You'll have a great season. QO, we definitely look forward to seeing you guys again. That takes us down to one of my other favorite schools, South County. JG, we're done. The Stallions are done, bro.
I know. I'm very salty about it.
Now, Josh doesn't like South County. Let's make that clear.
Don't even start that mess. Okay?
Josh doesn't like.
Right. We went and visited with them, Chad. I understand.
What did Coach Pannone do to you, Josh? What did Coach do to you?
Chad, first of all, before you even knew who Dylan Spaulding was, who was telling you, hey, we got to check out this young receiver down at South County?
JG, that was back when Dylan wasn't returning Josh's phone calls.
Here's my thing, though. I got my ear to the ground on this, so don't you dare say that I have anything against this team. I just expect greatness out of them like I expect of every team I keep an eye on.
All right. JG, what happened in that game, bro?
Westfield's defense.
Yeah.
South County was able to average about, 40 points a game all season long. They went on a 4 or 5 game winning a streak where they were scoring at least 50.
Correct.
And Westfield's defense was able to hold them to 3. The game broke away late in the third quarter when Raymond Johnson threw a 76-yard touchdown to wide receiver Sean Eckert.
Sean Eckert.
The game away.
Yeah.
South County, the offense just wasn't moving like it had been in previous games. It just wasn't scoring points. So props to the Westfield defense and props to the Westfield offense for clock control the entire game.
Absolutely. Look, and as a Cowboys fan, you know a lot about that. But no, that whole Raymond to Sean Eckert combination has been linking up all season long, man. I mean, they are potent, but I think that you hit the proverbial nail on the head there, bro. I mean, this South County offense, they've been putting up numbers. But that Westfield defense, bro, like that Westfield defense, they didn't win a title last year on no fluke, you know what I mean? Somebody on this show has been disrespecting them all season long. We ain't gonna say no names.
You can't subtweet yourself. Okay?
Oh.
Come on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was me. But that Westfield team, man, I mean, they know how to get it done. So it's impressive to see them get it done again. We love you, or JG and I, we love you out there at South County. We wish you nothing but good coming back next season. You had a great season. Jack McDaniels, Dylan Spaulding, Christian Massey, all of those young guns, Seth Dunn, all of them. You guys, you had a great season, and we look forward to seeing you back again next year. Now, another one, I feel like this is a segment in which I bring up my favorite teams that actually did not come out victorious, because Bishop Sullivan, they took on arguably the baddest of the bad boys. IMG came to Virginia Beach this year, Josh, and when you and I were talking off record about this, you said that you thought that IMG was going to beat the Crew by 30. Well, guess what? They didn't, Josh. They didn't beat the Crew by 30. They didn't even score 30. How you like that, Josh?
Dad, I said no such thing, okay? I don't know what you're doing, okay, and what fever dreams you are having that involve me. I would appreciate being left out of this, but I said no such thing, okay? I said that it would be a good game, a contested game, but IMG, I mean, you look at that team. We're talking about 33 guys who are going to be playing on Sundays, confirmed already. Like, there's no place.
Wait. Wait. There's 33 of them who have been drafted already to play on Sunday?
I said Saturday.
Saturday. Josh, have you been on you've been in your granddaddy's cabinet again already?
Let's not talk about that, okay? Come on. It's a Monday afternoon. What type of person are you trying to insinuate I am?
Oh my gosh. Well, look, man, I want to give credit to this Sullivan team. I mean, not only did they only allow 16 points, but they were actually up, man. And look, this for I've said this before as well, for winners, like not Redskin fans, but for winners, ooh, for winners, a close loss is not a moral victory. So I know that those young men are not thrilled at the fact that they didn't come out victorious, but they played their tails off out there. And so to be up on them, and then for IMG to have to come back and only score a total of 16 points, I got to give a huge shout out to my main man, to my coach Chris Scott out there, to Coach McClenny out there for getting that defense ready, man. I mean, these young men, they came out there and they balled. They showed that big time football is played down in Virginia. Virginia, more specifically, down in the 757 as well, Josh. And you just, when they come back next year, man, you just need to stop disrespecting them the way that you frequently do.
How have I disrespected Chris Scott and that Sullivan squad? Okay, that's the what? Crusaders, I have just said that the Crusaders are going to take some time to gel as a program.
You know
this
what?
This year has been a rousing success, and there's only bigger and brighter things in their future. You and I both know that.
If Coach Scott wasn't such a Christian, he'd probably say some bad things about you.
He'd look me in the eye and shake my hand and say, you know what? You were right about this team. We're one of the most talented in the nation, but it's going to take us some time before you see our output match our talent.
Last thing we want to do is give a huge shout out down there to quarterback of Oscar Smith, Mr. Sean Mitchell. He broke the Virginia passing record, set an all-time record with in their victory over Bayside. He has now thrown for 10,766 yards. He's a William & Mary commit. One more time, that's 10,766 yards in his career. Shout out, congratulations, Mr. Sean Mitchell.
Hey, Chad, honestly, we need to take a ride down to Old Dominion just to check out that quarterback battle they're going to have in a couple of years. Because, I mean, we've got Stevie Williams from Woodrow Wilson going down there, too. They got two great quarterbacks in that program.
Stevie's going to ODU?
Yes, sir.
Sean's going to William & Mary. I swear. Somebody go get his grandfather's bottle. JG, get his grandfather's bottle.
I thought he was going somewhere with that, and then...
Well, you know what? There are going to be some great games from the team football play from the colleges in the 757.
Get the bottle out of his hand! Get the bottle out of his hand right now! Get it out of his hand!
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up. Shorty, what you need?
What you need?
My nuts run the game, we ain't never leave.
Never leave.
Counting up this money, we ain't never sleep.
Never sleep.
You got V12, I got 12 V's. Got bottles, got weed, got
hat. I'm all the way up.
Shorty, what you want? I got what you need.
Need.
Shorty, what you want? I got what you need.
Hat.
Shorty, what you want? I got what you need.
I'm all the way up.
Hat. Rolexes, kicked the bitch out the room and gave her no breakfast. Had to stash the jewels, these bitches so reckless. Keep my on cruise, I'm talking naughty uptown, showing off for new things. Couldn't take it all, so I gave her chain. She called me top shot, so yeah, I keep a few tings. Champion sound, yeah, I got a few rings, and I'm all the way.
And we're back at the Ricardo Report one more time, man. Just Josh, as we prepare to say goodbye to a couple of my personal favorite teams. You don't have favorites. I have favorites. Again, one last shout out to Richard Montgomery. Love you guys very, very much. You had a tremendous season, man. I'm a big fan.
Shout out to Tylan Hebron. This is true. I didn't believe it until I saw it with my eyes. Some coach out there is going to get himself a promotion by bringing him on campus.
You daggone right. It's about time that you opened your eyes to that. And
I haven't seen him. You used it the way you flip-flopped on,
on St. Francis is the way I flip-flopped on this young man.
My gosh.
Seeing is believing.
Fortunately, the people out there just don't even, they just don't even believe you at all. But again, shout out South County. Shout out Bishop Sullivan. Love all of you guys. You'll come back stronger, better next year and end the season the way that you want to. But Josh, now that we got you hushed up for a moment, it's time to get to pick'ems. You ready for this?
Yes, sir.
I think last week I beat you again, but I beat you every week, so that's...
No, you did not beat me, okay? You forfeited that by not picking the Richard Montgomery game. Otherwise, we would have been 2-2. I kept track of that one.
I'm too much of a journalist. I didn't want to take myself out of the picture of being live at that game. But the first game that we're talking about now, we're staying in Maryland football. We are talking about Damascus and Potomac. You know what? I don't want to start there. Let's start here. Wise versus Howard. Howard's traveling to Wise. Howard, this was one of those that I actually had over you. Howard knocked off Mervo last week. They're traveling to Wise this week. Who you got in this game, Josh?
I can't pick against Wise, okay? They are one of the few Maryland public schools I had in my top 10 at all this season, and there's a reason why. I kind of put it like this. There are the kids from PG County who go to the Catholic schools. You got a couple guys at Eleanor Roosevelt in those schools down there. We're talking about the Greenbelt Bowie area, and then everybody else is at Wise, okay? Wise is the best public school team in PG County, and I'm pretty sure they could take off some of the weaker teams in the WCAC. St. Mary's Rikers.
Wow, jeez. God, St. Mary's Rikers, there was no need for that. What? That was totally unprovoked. Totally unprovoked. I don't understand why you come at student athletes like this.
No. I spent all summer listening to Utah try and convince me that they could be competing for a playoff spot, okay?
Rashard Jackson, one of the top running backs in the entire state. You watch out for his name. Okay.
His team has a ways to go.
All right. So speaking to Wise, the program that we are giving credit to, not trying to take away from somebody else the way that you are, you got one thing right. This is, for my money, the premier public school, maybe not even just in the state of Maryland, maybe in the entire DMV, but we'll see about that in some regard. They got quarterback Jabari Laws out there. They got John Mumu Oliver. They've got other wide receivers that are absolutely dangerous. They got my main man. He's a terror to quarterbacks. Savion is out there destroying things on the offensive and defensive line as well.
I'm so happy you remembered this young man's name and we didn't have you calling him Bigelow like you did with my boy Sam last week.
Savion out there getting things done as well. Shout out to Coach DeLon Parrish. You mentioned Roosevelt. They were able to do away with Roosevelt last week in relative easy fashion. So the two of us, we're going 2-for-2 on this one. Both of us rolling with Wise.
Absolutely.
Second game to take a look at. This is Damascus, D-Mass, and they are taking on Potomac. I got to tell you, this Potomac team, they knocked off Oxon Hill that was undefeated last week. D-Mass, they actually gave up a few points last week to Oakdale, 21 to be exact. Who do you got in this game?
I love this Potomac squad, okay? They have been a team I've been keeping my eye on all season. Definitely poised to put themselves in a position to make a run deep like this into the state playoffs. But they got Damascus in their bracket. I can't pick against Damascus. That's just going to be me being silly, okay? As you would constantly tell me during the WCAC season.
That's right.
To be the man, you got to beat the man. And right now, the men in public high school football in Maryland are Wise and Damascus.
Yeah, I wish that I could disagree with you because typically if we're disagreeing, I'm right and you're wrong, but I can't go against the swarming Hornets, man. I really can't. I love Tayon Fleet Davis. He is presently, as we're recording this right now, he's up for the Student Athlete of the Week. He's likely going to win it. He's a phenomenal running back, young man. He's a University of Maryland commit. He gets it done on the football field, and he's also a very nice young man off of the field as well. So I'm definitely pulling for Tayon, pulling for the entire Potomac team. Amazing what they did to knock off Oxon Hills in overtime, but This Damascus team, man, I mean, they just get it done. Marcus Benson last week playing behind a tremendous offensive line, put up 6 touchdowns of his own. That defensive backfield, which is tremendous in its own regard, had 3 interceptions. Benson had one of those as well. Marcus Benson was also student athlete of the week. So as much as I got love for Potomac in this game, I got to go with our guys out there, DMAS, pulling out the victory.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's head down to Virginia and talk a little bit about public school football. Let's talk about these guys from Westfield, man. Westfield, last week, they took out...
No, Dad, I can't let you get off that easy. I really wish we could play back the tape of all the times you were just blatantly disrespectful to these boys. I mean, our former colleague, Monet Anderson, always was singing praises for Mr. Raymar Johnson. Please apologize to that young man, Chad.
Well, first of all, his name is Raymond with an N, not an R. So that would put the apology on you. Secondly, myself and Raymond, we...
I'm not wearing my glasses, okay? That is my excuse there. But what is your excuse for disregarding him all season?
Raymond and myself, we have made amends, okay? Raymond was also nominated as a student athlete of the week. I wrote him on Twitter. I told him how disrespectful I had been to Westfield early on in the season. But I only did it to get ratings, guys. I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it at all. I always knew. I always knew how good Westfield was. I was just doing it to get the ratings. And now Westfield has come all the way back. They lost 2 games early. Now they're rolling. I'm so happy for these guys so very much. They're playing Madison this week. Madison knocked off West Potomac behind a huge game from Landon Thomas. Thomas is big time. He's a nominee for the Student Athlete of the Week. But when it comes down to it, Josh, like I always tell you, I always knew that Westfield. So I'm rolling with Westfield in this one.
Yeah, again, I mean, when you look at their defensive and offensive lines, they have the bodies who can control the line of scrimmage. I'm looking at defensive end, big body Zach Jewell, 6'4", 230 pounds. I mean, when you're talking about that, I mean, they got linebackers bigger than most high school's offensive linemen. When you're looking at senior middle linebacker Cole Robertson, 6'2", 200 pounds, and LaDorian Rivers patrolling the outside there, 6'2", 220. I mean, come on.
I 100% agree with you. I mean, listen, again, we just spoke about this a minute ago, so we won't go any further into it, but the way that they shut down and damn near shut out this South County Stallions team, that defense is playing ball, bruh. They are playing ball, and they're playing championship winning ball. Obviously, they know how to get to the big dance, and they know how to win it, and that's what it appears as though they're heating up to go on that run right now.
Chet, how many of our listeners will remember what Beamer Ball is? Because this is reminiscent a little bit of Beamer Ball.
That's actually a great reference. I'm not going to give you a hard time about it. Good job. Oh, no. Right now, we're 3-for-3 on the same picks.
No, Chad, you were just confused. You didn't think I knew football like that, did you?
You kind of surprised me there. I was impressed.
Hey, I didn't get this job overnight.
Maybe Westfield will go out there and block a punt this week just to make your analogy come true.
All right.
Final one. See if we go 4-for-4 on this one. I got an unfortunate feeling in my gut that tells me that we will. We're talking about Lake Braddock, Mr. Lamont Atkins, taking on South Lakes. Who you got?
Come on. You already know the answer to this question. I mean, you know that if there is one team I can be accused of standing for outside of the WCAC this season, it's been Lake Braddock because of that young man, Lamont Atkins, fantastic running back. We're going to have the pleasure of seeing him on Sundays with the Virginia Cavaliers, Saturdays with the Virginia Cavaliers next season. But let's enjoy him putting in work on Fridays while we can. He is going to power that running game for the Bruins to another big win.
Let me give you my one cause for pause right here, okay? Is this South Lakes team is a really, really good team. I believe that they only have one loss on the entire season. They played Centerville last week, who is another potent rushing team. not quite what Lake Braddock is, but they are a potent rushing team. And this South Lakes defense was able to shut them down for the most part. They were up by a score of 22-14, had the game in hand. Trick play came from Centerville, double reverse pass in the closing seconds for the touchdown that had them within a two-point conversion away from tying that game up. Fortunately for South Lakes, Sky Labrisky did step up, intercept that two-point attempt, which ended the game. But I say all that to say that South Lakes defense did do a great job shutting down the powerful Centerville rushing attack. Am I convincing you?
No. I mean, South Lakes, they're a fantastic team. If you had actually been paying attention to my entire top 25, unlike Chad, you would have seen they were creeping up their way up to being in contention for a top 10 spot at the end of the season. They are no team to take lightly, and it's going to be a great battle.
Yeah, well, you know what? Unfortunately, as much credit as I just gave them, and I'm sorry, South Lakes, I know that by now you guys are pretty happy with me, but I'm going to go ahead and end all of that goodwill. I actually don't think that it's going to be a great matchup. And Josh, here's the reason why. I took a look at the tape, bro, and Southland, they're talented. They are talented, but on the defensive side of the ball, they're a little light in the pencil. They're a little light in the pencil.
Okay. So is this looking at, are they looking more like, say, the Cleveland Browns or, say, Baltimore Ravens?
I'm not going to disrespect them in either one of those ways, but here is what I'm going to say. that Lake Braddock offensive line is big, bro. And they're big, and Lamont Atkins is coming. Lamont Atkins is going to pound the ball down their throat. And you know what else? Ibrahim Mansoury is going to pound the ball down their throat. And you know what else? Ty Crabb, he's going to pound the ball down their throats. They knocked off a very good Hayfield team by a count of 42-0 last week. 42-0. A very good.
Tell them again.
A very good Hayfield team. They, Josh, they ran the clock the entire second half of the game against Hayfield.
Wait. They got it to running clock in the first half of a playoff game?
In the first half of a playoff game, bruh.
In Virginia 6A?
That's what I'm saying, man. That's what I'm saying. This
ain't so good.
Look, man, and again, listen, South Lakes, I'm not coming down there, so you don't got to be on the lookout for me. But, you know, I'm sorry. I think you all are talented. I wish you the best, but I believe that you're running into a buzzsaw right now, and I believe that there are only two teams in the entire 6A that can stand up to this powerful, potent Lake Braddock team, and unfortunately, neither one of them wear blue and green.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you got the Seahawks season finishing up this week?
I do. I've got them. But it was a great year. I think two seasons ago, they only won two games. So they are definitely building something very special out there. It's just, it's not time yet. Not time yet.
Hey, you guys, take heart in this. You are one of our programs on the rise, and we definitely will be paying more attention to you guys down there at South Lakes next season.
Damn right. All right, Josh Eloy, that is going to do it for us here at the Ricardo Report today. Definitely want to give credit to all of our contributors from today's show. That is Rodney Jiggs Johnson, WCAC insider Darrell Balknight, our producer, Mr. Jaron Glover, and absolutely Josh, you. Thank you very much, brother.
Hey, thank you for putting up with my antics this week, as you always do, and I know that the fans appreciate you bringing me in.
They do appreciate that. And speaking of the fans, we want to thank you, and especially you, for making us your official source of high school sports in the DMV. On behalf of Josh Eloy, I am Chad Ricardo, and this has been the Ricardo Report. Happy birthday, Mom.